All right, so this morning we're finishing up this series, and I always kind of wonder when we get to the end of a series if people are like, thank God, or if you remember anything. So I don't know. So we've been, since Easter, which was a little while ago, we've been talking about what it is that makes up the Christian life, what drives this thing, because after the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, this movement started that spread in the world so quickly and so thoroughly and keeps on spreading, and it's just uniquely not driven by fear or greed, but just changed people. And it's just, it's so amazing, and I've said that every week, but I think in our world today is so pervasively shaped by the influence of Jesus that we can't imagine what our world would be like without his influence here. It shapes what we know to be good and value. It shapes how we treat other people, what we think of how human beings should be treated, how we should live, and even people that are not Christians. Our whole world has been influenced by this person and by this life and how Christianity, how this following the way of Jesus spread, and it spread through people changing. Their ideas, what they valued, what was important to them, so much so that people for thousands of years have risked and sacrificed for this thing that they have found to be of such great worth. So what is it? Like if we look under the hood, what are these things that really drive Christianity? What shapes our life? What drives this thing forward and makes people different? We don't crack open the hood a lot, and so that's what we've been doing here. And today we're ending with the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, the big finale. Which are you getting a little cold, Tony? Okay, all right, man. I must be hotter natured than all the rest of you. I'm always burning up in here. Okay, all right, yeah. Rakita, if she was here, would be giving me the evil eye. You're like, you're freezing me out, Nathan. Yeah, that's what I need to do. Wardrobe change. So if anybody's listening to this online, they're going to, I don't know if I'm going to come to this church. So this is the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, the thing that actually moves the Christian life forward, and this is discipleship and us being Jesus's messengers in the world. It's the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples. You will be my disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. You will be my messengers. It was one of the first things that Jesus essentially said to his disciples, to many of them. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then the last time that they see them with their own eyes, he's saying, now go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them, immersing them in the Holy Spirit life, into the with God life, teaching them to obey, 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 obey. You will be my messengers into all the world. So this is how Christianity got to spread and got to you and me, and how we even hear about these things. It's what drove the church. And to be honest, this is just way, way, way too big of a topic to talk about in a Sunday morning unless you guys just want to stay here and stay here and stay here, which I'm sure you'll get hungry and cranky after a while. But I mean, it's something, honestly, we could talk about all year and just not do a sufficient job at. That's okay, because we actually talk about it all the time, bless you. It's in everything we do, this discipleship making, it's in everything that we do. It's in what we talk about, the scriptures that we read, the way that we chose to keep the floors the way that they are and paint the walls the way that they are, and the reason why we have coffee and muffins out, and the things that we do in our communities and what we talk about and why our website is. It's all, you are getting discipleship. We are doing mission. We are being messengers in every opportunity that we can. This church is extremely immersed in that. don't have to take it all in this morning because discipleship is about making small moves over time. So we'll be okay. And this isn't going to be a great sermon because it's not extremely focused on anything. You know, good sermons need to be really focused. But what I'm going to do here is that there are just little gaps that I find in the wall sometimes about the central thing of the Christian life, of being a disciple and making disciples. And so we're just going to kind of fill in some of those chunks in the wall about discipleship. So if it was so important, what is it? You know, what is it? What is Jesus talking about when he says, go and make, we don't use this word a lot, disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. You will be my messengers, you know. We don't think of ourselves as messengers a lot. We don't wake up in the morning and think about being a disciple or that word often. So what is Jesus meaning? Being a disciple is an apprentice, somebody that is learning from a master, somebody with your, and except it's more than that. If you're an apprentice to a blacksmith, you're learning about being a blacksmith. You guys, so half of you are so awesome. But if you were a disciple, you're not just learning to be of a blacksmith. You're not just learning about how to be a blacksmith. You're learning how to be that person. Let their attitudes and their thoughts and their worldview and everything that they do shape who you are. So when Jesus has his disciples and he says, come and follow me, he is teaching them with his words and with his actions, with his attitudes of this is, follow me, let all of who I am shape all of who you are. Become infected with who I am so that it shapes the way that you treat people, the way that you think, the way that you feel. Become like me. When we think of being messengers, or even this word that people don't like, the words like evangelism and conversion and things, we think about, and we'll talk about that more in a second, but we think about words and convincing people. But do you know that most of what we communicate is not words? It's our actions and our attitudes, you know? It's our actions and attitudes. I know that I can stand up here and say the exact same things, but if I say it from a dark place of having a rough week, from whatever, you know, like you guys are going to get a different message, you know? Or if I don't really believe the stuff that I'm talking about, because it's most of what we communicate is not the words that we're saying to people. And that's true of your life and everybody that's around you, to your children and the people that you work with and that you go to school with. It's our actions and our attitudes. So discipleship is about that just as much as anything that Jesus ever said to his followers. We're witnessing to what we experienced, right? That's what a witness does. Say, this is what I experienced. There's a woman at the well that meets with Jesus, and he does this amazing thing where he's honest with her about the things that she has done, but he also treats her with such dignity and respect and love that she doesn't have to hide it, and she feels free, and that she can go back to her own people and say, come and see this man. That's all that she knows. She just had one conversation with him, but she's a witness. Come and see this man that told me everything that I've ever done. Or this man that was being interrogated after Jesus gave him sight. He was blind for his whole life, and Jesus made it where he could see. And they were asking, these religious leaders were asking him a lot of questions about what happened, and he said, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. Just so simple. So simple. That's being a messenger. That we are witnesses to the things that we've experienced and the things that we've seen. But it's about our whole life. It's about all of who we are reflecting all of who God is. And that becomes more and more true the more that we go down. Or that we live into this with God life. It's reflected in the habits that we cultivate, the words that we choose, the choices that we make, the practices that we practice. It's as simple as remembering how God has been good to you and celebrating that and sharing that, you know? which is a gift to you and it's a gift to other people. I think a lot of people look at these last commandments of Jesus of like, oh, can I just receive this as something that is good for me and that just be enough? And now I have to go and like save the world? My goodness, I don't have the energy or the strength or even the desire sometimes to save the world. I just want to be okay, you know? But the amazing thing is that we are saved as we are, and we are healed and we are set free as we are offering what we've been given to others, as we remember and we celebrate the goodness of God, and we celebrate and we remember that with other people. That it helps those things become more true in us. It helps us hold on to the good gifts that God has given us. And it's in our giving that we are receiving. It's a gift to us as much as it is to anybody else, you know? So discipleship is really, and being a witness is really about receiving all this good from God, all the joy and the peace and the kindness and the grace and the mercy and the wisdom from God, and then just offering that to other people. Just offering that to other people. Hey, I am so loved. I've been given so much peace. Hey, here's where I found something good, and I want to tell you about it. I want to share with you about it. You know, I can tell that you're being mean to me right now at work, but I'm going to be loving to you, and maybe not even with my words. I don't even have to say anything, but you're going to sense that you're loved because I know that I'm loved even when I'm unlovely. And I'm going to let the life of God, the goodness of God, the peace of God flow through me. And even though the situation out here may not be peaceful right now, I'm going to be peaceful inside because I'm going to tap into the peace and the reassurance and the goodness of God. And so I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be a disciple maker because I am a disciple. As God opens our eyes to see better and better and more clearly what is good and what is right and what is true and what is noble, we get messed up about those things, right? And as we go through this Christian journey, that God opens up our eyes about things of like, I used to think that was okay, and now I know that it's not. Or I used to think that I would find life down that road, and now I kind of know that that's not the way to life and to freedom and to hope and to happiness. You know, and God has been telling me that for a long time, and I didn't believe him or her. But now I do, you know? And it's sharing this wisdom, this insight with other people in the same way that God shares it with us, open-handed and lovingly, you know? Hey, choose life. Here's life and death, blessings and curses. Just choose it. It's not forcing anything down anybody's throat. Has God ever pounced on you, you know? God's kind of pounced on me sometimes, but like in a loving way, like I, you know, in a loving, you know, I know this is out of love, God, you know, but God, that's a different kind of pouncing than what we've seen some pretty religious people pounce on people before, right? The I'm better than you kind of stuff. So as we receive, you know, when we think back to when we talked about the Holy Spirit and God the Son and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be immersed and invited into that life of that community that is God, of affirming and blessing and joy-filled, loving community that is God, that God wants us to be a part of, because love and joy want to be shared, right? And so God is saying, as I have brought you and as I am bringing you into this with God life of community and joy and blessings and affirmation and delight, immerse other people in that. Bring other people into that, because joy and love need to be shared. Blessings need to be shared. Let people come into the with God life. See, love is central to the Christian life, and essential to the nature of God. And love isn't love until it's given away. Love isn't love until it's given away. So if we were like, oh, just thank you, God. Thank you for this, and I'm just going to receive this, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm not going to give it to anybody else. Guess what? You didn't actually receive it. Because love isn't love until you've given it away. Love just demands that it's given. It flows through us. And discipleship is essentially that. It is just, I'm saying this like 10 different ways. It is just giving to other people what we have received. It's like electricity, you know? It's not on and it's not working unless it's flowing, right? the Christian life is not on and it's not flowing. And it's not on and working unless it's flowing. There is no power there. There is no significance there. The light bulbs are not shining unless it's flowing. So discipleship is just so central. Being a witness is so central to the Christian life because we are not living it unless with our actions and our words and our attitudes that we are giving it away. You don't have any more of it than what you are giving away. Isn't that amazing? You don't have any more of it. It is not any more real in your life than what you are giving away. Just like electricity, you know? You don't have it. You're not any more turned on than what's flowing through you. And as a follower of Jesus, it's your whole life. Just like with Jesus walking around with his disciples, it's his whole life. Not just something that he blogs about or that he writes about or talks like a good talk, but it's your whole life that is the message. And it's not a message about how wonderful you are. It's a message about how wonderful God is. Remember last week, some of you will have a real hard time last week because you weren't here. but when we talked about this beautiful treasure that we have in earthen vessels, it just takes this pressure off. We don't have to be the glittering, shiny treasure box. You know, we don't have to be the peacock of, hey, look how awesome I am, and if the world sees how awesome I am, then they'll see how awesome God is. It doesn't work that way. We just get in the way. Just be an earthen vessel. Just be something simple and honest about who you are. You're a human being with something amazing and beautiful inside, something worth celebrating, something worth pointing to. And it's so freeing because you don't have to be the one that's awesome. You know, you don't have to change the world or anybody else or deliver transcendence to anybody just by people bumping into you. It's not how it works. You're not that awesome, you know. Just take that home. What, you know, when mom calls later on this afternoon and say, what did you learn? Pastor said I'm not that awesome. Oh, well, that's sweet, honey. That's nice. But it takes the pressure off. You let the life of God flow through you. It's about how wonderful God is. But it is such a gift to us. It's who we're supposed to be. But so many times in so many ways, like, this is not how we find Christians living in the world, right? Like showing up at work, showing up at school, showing up in their families of like, man, I'm just here to give all that I've been given. I'm taking out the trash today, and I'm working for city sanitation today, and I'm cleaning up puke after kids today, or whatever we might be doing. I'm working on something really hard for my boss, and it's going to make him look amazing, and he's going to keep being mean to me, you know, today. But that's not really why I'm here. I'm here today to bless as I've been blessed, and to share the with God life through my attitude and through my actions, and sometimes even through my words. How amazing God is and how amazing God has been to me. But we don't see that everywhere because I think that we run into these obstacles, these misunderstandings, these wrong ideas about what discipleship, being a witness, really is all about. That is so amazing, Gracie. We haven't even had the altar call yet. You're coming down. You're coming down. That's so awesome. On her knees, no less. Lord. Never seen that before. That one's, yeah. We had a, yeah. Hands and knees. I'm going to put that one down as a special moment here. Hands and knees, walking down the aisle, little Gracie. So here's some obstacles we run into that kind of like get up from this life with God just flowing through us. One is that we get distracted and that we forget, you know. Jesus talks about scattering seed among the weeds and like the worries of life and life just crowded out. And one of the ways that we see that in ourselves and we see that in other Christians is that when Christians, we just feel like we got nothing to celebrate. You know, we got nothing to be happy about. We got nothing to be joyful or grateful for. It means that we're forgetting because it's not true, right? And we need to remember. So many times God has said to us throughout Scripture, just remember me. When things go well, don't forget me. When things have turned sour, don't forget me. Remember me. Remember all that I've done for you. But we forget. You know, and we get bogged down with the weeds of life. We forget about who we are. We begin to believe that sometimes that it doesn't really matter, you know, this Christian life. We forget. We begin to forget to believe that it doesn't matter to us and that it doesn't matter to our neighbors, that, hey, they're fine and I'm fine and none of this stuff matters. But there's no differences between believing in God and having God being present in your life versus not. All religions are all the same. These are all lies, like just historical lies, just that they shape human, that Christianity, from a historical basis, you can say that it just shapes people's lives. It changes things. Our world's getting dumber, by the way. Like when we can't see distinctions between things and we say that all things are all the same, it's basically also saying that nothing matters. You know, it's postmodernism. Things are different, things matter, and they have. We can't go down this road of getting stupider, okay? Like, that's sidebar. But anyway, another obstacle that we run into, it matters to your neighbors. It matters when we fail to celebrate, we fail to remember, then we fail also to realize how it can make a difference and how God wants to make a difference in other people's lives and what a blessing it can be to have God in your life, you know? When we forget to celebrate and to remember, we forget why it matters to other people too. Another one is this common lie that we're not enough. That, hey, I don't know enough. I don't have enough. I'm not good enough or perfect enough, or I haven't known God long enough, or I'm just not enough to really be a witness, to be a disciple, to be a disciple maker, to influence anybody. You know, that's for people like Carrie, for crying out loud, who has a degree that's called Master of Divinity. You know, she'd almost levitate, I'm sure, with that kind of degree. Just kidding. That is the coolest thing about is the title of the degree. But anyway, we got a lot of those in here. Sharon's got a lot of those. Adam's got one. Anyway, Sharon doesn't like everybody to know that, but she's super smart. One of the things when next week we're gonna have a one of our Sundays we call God Story Sundays, where we invite people to come and share a story about what God has done in their life. It can have to be the whole story. It can just be a moment. And one of the things that we run into a lot when we talk to people about their stories and about sharing these things is that people say, I don't know if I even have anything to share. I don't know if I have anything worth talking about. I don't know if my story is so simple and so silly that I have anything to say, you know? And it's so sad, and it's so untrue. And I try almost pounce on people sometimes, especially if I've known you long enough to feel like I can pounce on you. Like, no, that's not true. You have an amazing and wonderful gift to share. An amazing and wonderful gift to share. If you have anything to say, God, I'm thankful for this. If you have any bit of gratitude, any reason for gratitude in your life, if God has meant anything to you in any moment ever, then you have something to share. You have something to share. You can say, hey, there was this one time where I'm so grateful for God for showing up in this, or God has given me these things, or I have these things in my life. Or for some people that feel like they don't have anything to share, they can say, you know what? I was born into a family where my mom and dad may not have been perfect, but they love God, and I don't know what it's like to live in a world where people don't talk to God. And so God has been so good to me in that. If you have anything to praise God about, if you have anything to be grateful for, then you have a story worth sharing about God. Maybe sometimes that we run into this obstacle of being a witness, being a disciple, because we've fallen off the wagon. Maybe you're in a relationship with somebody or with something that is not of God, and you know that it may not be right for you. It may not be what's leading to life for you. You know that it may not be in line with the life and the teachings of Jesus and the Spirit of God. But you can't give it up because you just love it. It is more of greater value to you than God is, than the with God life. And it just kind of, maybe you didn't plan it, but that just kind of ended up there that, you know, I know this isn't right, this relationship with this person or this thing. And I know it's out of line for what God wants for me, but I love it and I value it more, too much to let it go. So I value it and I love it more than I do my life with God. And so that steals our ability to witness, because you know that your message would be invalidated, your words would be invalidated by the life that you're living. You can't be somebody that is making disciples, because you can't lead people where you're not going. You can't say, follow me as I follow Christ, when you're not following Christ. Some of us, we run into this obstacle of negative examples that we just have in our life and we have in our heads. We think that, especially when it comes to the ideas of conversion and evangelism, which is part of discipleship. This is really interesting, I think. Jesus had been mentoring, apprenticing, discipling his followers for years. Jesus, and he's good at this, from what I understand. He's really good at discipling them for years before they got it. And he even died, and he came back to life again and hung out with them and taught them some more and hung out with them some more before they got it. They kept thinking, oh yes, this is going to be awesome. He's going to be the conquering king. He's that kind of Messiah. No. Jesus kept saying, no, I'm not. This is what God's kingdom is and what it's about. And it took him so long to get it. He had been discipling them way, way, way before they ever got it. Way before you could probably say that this is their conversion moment, where they are like, hey, this is Jesus, and I understand Jesus better, and I'm in. Peter, my goodness, like he kept getting it wrong like for a long time. And Jesus kept using him in amazing ways, even though he didn't have it all figured out, you know? And so there's that moment of conversion, and it's just where we first time say, hey, God, I'm all in, like whatever you say, I'm up for it, you know? But that's kind of an ongoing thing too. You know, there's the first time that we do that, but like the Christian life is an ongoing conversion thing. But a lot of times discipleship starts way, way before that. When you think about your story, did you just like show up one day and that was the first time that you had ever experienced God's presence or God's love or God, and you're like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm in, you know? Or was there somebody that was, you know, some people that is true. But for most of us, we can look back and see that God and God's people, somebody was loving us and guiding us and influencing us and whispering in our ear and being present in our life for years before we ever opened our eyes and opened our hearts and said, God, I'm in, you know? Sometimes we have these ideas that people that are witnesses or people that are condemning and they're arguing with people to convince other people that you're wrong and I'm right and that what you really need is to be like me. Hey, here's some good news. You can be like me. Ha! I mean, but that's what we think about somebody that's being an evangelist or somebody that is being a witness. And it comes off as arrogant and wrong. You know why? Because it's arrogant and wrong. That's so right. Tony, you're on it today, man. There's not been one question that I've asked that he hadn't got right. Just so awesome. Because it's arrogant and wrong. Being a witness, being a disciple and a disciple maker begins and ends with love. Honestly, loving and caring about people. This means that we don't love people so that we'll get something out of them, so that they will do something, so that they will believe something, you know? If we're loving somebody in order to get something from them, that is called what? Manipulation. The Browns are going to get stars next to their name. It's a really important board with stars next to it. We can check the chart later. It's called manipulation. When you are loving somebody so that they will agree with you, or you're acting loving so you can get something from somebody, that's called manipulation. But we don't do that. That's not real Christian love. We love people because we believe that they are loved and that they are precious and they are valuable to God. And that is part of us living the Christian life is that we love people regardless of what they believe, regardless of how they act, regardless of their own loveliness, because we believe that they are precious and valuable and important to God, and that God wants us to love them and to love them the way that God has loved us, and to let that beautiful, life-giving love flow through us. And whether they receive it or not, whether they are open to it or not, it doesn't matter, because the energy, the power of God and God's love is flowing out from us. And we are to be messengers. We're not salespeople trying to make a close. We're messengers. We're witnesses to the goodness and the life of God. We are disciple makers. We are sharing what we have learned, sharing the goodness of what God has given us. That's a love that drives our love, that real love that drives the witness. Because we lack some good examples, and sometimes the examples that we have of what it looks like to be a disciple maker or so, and to be a witness, are of amazing missionaries far, far away or even long ago. It's not a Star Wars reference there, Levi. I just want to share with you a few examples of what this could look like in your life based on people's lives that I've seen. And by the way, I love our church, and we do this better than any church that I know. It's just like we are good witnesses, you know? There's a teacher that I used to know, a fifth grade teacher, that she's very introverted, but she loved her students, and when she would get her class role for the year, she began praying for them by name, and by the time that they came to her class, she already knew their names because she'd been praying for them and praying for them. And she decorated her classroom, and she set things up, and as she just went about her day getting ready for her students, she prayed for her students. And then every day when she got to school, unless it was too crazy of a morning, she would go by and pray over each one of the desks. She would pray for them. And she was a very quiet person. But she had so many amazing opportunities with these little young people that were just on the edge of becoming young adults because she prayed for them. And they knew that that their teacher loved them. And if we're going to be witnesses, if we're going to be disciple makers, it begins and ends with prayer. Because prayer is what shapes our hearts. Prayer is what releases God's power into the world. And we can devolve into trying to be salespeople, you know, trying to convince people to be. I think the people that stand in front of people and say, "Hey, good news, you can be like me." I think those people are prayerless people, because you're not praying, letting the with God life flow through you. You don't have a life full of prayer, and that be the end result. And you and I can be that kind of a person, be like this teacher in our lives, in our environments, among our neighbors. Carrie's grandparents, use another example. I loved her grandfather, amazing man. I kind of try to collect good examples of good men in my life. His name is Erling. But if you are a parent, the best opportunity you will ever have to be a disciple maker, to be a witness, is to your children. Nobody's going to move in with you or move in with me and just follow along with you for the next 18 years of their life, watching and learning from you. It's not going to happen, you know? And if it does, there's something probably weird going on. But that weird thing naturally happens with children, you know? They are learning from you, from your being and from your doing, and sometimes from your talking. But if your talking doesn't match up with your doing and your being, then they're going to know it, because they're living with you. You're watching you. That you can't hide it from them. So your greatest opportunity to ever disciple another human being in this life is with your children. Carrie's grandparents were amazing. All of their children love God, you know, and their grandchildren all love God, and that's an amazing statement. Because that doesn't happen when you're faking it, you know? Sometimes it doesn't happen anyway, but it doesn't. But it certainly doesn't happen when you're faking it. And I think that's a beautiful testimony to an authentic faith of somebody that the life of God was flowing out of them and into their children. Somebody that was really being a witness to those people. Here's a simple one. One of my friends is a Christian today because he pulled up at this gas station when he was a teenager and he saw a bunch of pretty girls that were in this old Jeep Cherokee, and he started talking to them, and they were on their way to a Wednesday night Bible study or youth group thing, and so he was like, "Oh yeah, cool, me too," you know. And so he starts going, you know, but those girls, they were being disciple makers and witnesses because they were just being themselves and going to a youth group, to a Christian youth group function, you know. Because, so it was just their life. They didn't set out to like go and dangle the bait in front of some boys at a gas station, you know. They were just living their life and said, "Hey, if you want to hang out with me, this is where I'm going," you know. That's right. Another one. You guys know Sam Chin. He left. He, you know, this is his first week in Florida. Just moved. But love and miss that guy. But he used to work at this coffee shop, and so I was asking him one time, just kind of checking in, mentoring him in a real intentional way. So I said, so who are you discipling? And he's like, "Oh, I'm not discipling anybody." I was like, Sam, I know that's not true. So while you are serving coffee, you know all of these people and all these regulars, and they're asking you about their life, and you're asking. Sam so naturally like loves and cares about people that he ends up like he knows everybody's life that's coming in and out of this coffee shop, and they're asking him questions, and so he's talking about learning to be a chaplain, and he's talking about what he's learning in school, and he's talking about the things that are important to him, and as he's just genuinely sharing his life, he is sharing about the good things that God has done in his life. He is loving the people that are around him. He is naturally being a witness, you know, and not even realizing it. Because it's coming out of an authentic place in him. And Sam, who is so easy to love, partly because he so easily loves other people, you know, I think that's just part of the natural with God life flowing out of him, you know. Happened as he's working at a coffee shop. My great-grandfather is one of my favorite things in all the world. It just really shapes my life a lot. Last two things. My great-grandfather, as a young man, was just rough. But later on became a Christian and became a minister. And man, the joy, especially as he got older, the joy and the peace and just the life of God flowed through him. And he was an old guy, and he was dying, and he was in the hospital. He knew he was dying, but he didn't care. And he just showed up everywhere that he went as if he was just showing up for other people. So, like, he's at the hospital, you know, with all the beeping, whirling machines there, and he doesn't care. He knows that he's there for other people. And so, like, the nurses walk in the room, and they're supposed to, like, be checking on him. And he has this kind of attitude that they walk in the room so he can check on them, you know? And I'll never forget. I was just a little guy when he died. But I'll never forget this moment where I remember my family walking onto the hall and talking to the nurses he died and said to my mom, "Your grandfather just changed this hall, changed our floor, that people would go in to check on him because he would pray with them. There was always singing coming out of his room because he would just ask people, 'Hey, can you read this scripture to me? Let's sing this song together.'" And people that were not Christians became Christians because of the love and the joy that they sensed in this man as he was dying. You know? He just showed up for other people, you know? Beautiful. Beautiful way to live and a beautiful way to die. He carried other people's burdens for them in the midst of the beeping and whirling machines, you know? As he was in pain, as his energy was waning, you know? He was a witness and a disciple. The nurse said that people that were fractious and along with each other and mean to each other, they're loving each other now, and they held each other and cried together after he went into his room. And all the nurses in the hall just went in and just held each other, the ones that hadn't been getting along, the ones that were getting along now, and held each other and cried and thanked God for his life, you know? One last example, and this is a following, follow me as I follow Christ kind of thing, and I'm just telling this for, there's a reason for it. So Carrie and I are ministering to people in Edgewood. We just drew a circle, like, hey, we can't change the world, and we're pretty limited people, but like, we're going to do the best that we can, and we're botching it a lot of days, not living up to our own expectations for sure. But we're going to, the people that, like, live around us, we're gonna do what we can to live out this goal that everybody that lives here is going to know somebody that loves them, that loves God, that loves them, that loves God, that loves them. And it may take us 10, 20 more years for that to be a reality, but it's a reality for some people, you know? And I'm telling you this story because we all have a place where we can draw a circle, you know, and say, you know, in my family, in my work environment, in my classroom, in my school, where are you drawing your circle and saying, I want to make sure that the people that come through here that are in here, that they know that they are loved. That they are loved with the love of God. That they hear from me something of praise and goodness about the goodness of God. That they see it and that they hear it and they catch it in my attitude. I want them to know. I want them to know. Where is your circle? Draw your circle somewhere. And pray for those people, and pray for those people. And find people to come alongside you in that. I mean, you guys are all coming alongside us. And it makes it bigger than what it ever could have been, because not everybody here, like, even lives in our little circle, because you have your own circles, and sometimes we're doubling up our circles, and sometimes we're working and helping and standing beside each other in each other's circles. And it's wonderful, and it's good. And I'm so glad be a part of it, but draw your circle somewhere. If you're a mom or your dad, you already got your circle. Nobody's ever going to be able to disciple your children the way that you are. But draw another one. Let me say this one last thing. Carrie and I are kind of introverts. I'm going to pick on the Hoyts here. They've been missionaries and ministers in their community for a long time, and one of the things I love about them and the way they do it is that their house has been like a revolving door forever, you know? And so when we, for such a long time, when we go over and have dinner with them, we don't know, like, if we're actually going to be, they have a huge table. We don't know if we're going to be joined by four other people while we're catching up and having dinner with them. We don't know. But it's wonderful, and I love it, and their life is hospitality, you know? That's how they communicate God's love to other people. That's not Carrie and I, you know? We do our, we get drained from being around people, but we love people. We're introverts, but we're also introverts that can organize and lead things. So if we want to minister to our neighbors, we don't just throw the door open and say, hey, come on over whenever you want to. We plan it, you know? And we also make sure that there's other great people that are there because we're not really that cool. You know, anybody that we invite over that's just like another couple that we're trying to get to know, unless we already know them in some other way, that it never goes off really well. They're like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's quiet. There's awkwardness. I don't know. But what we do, you know, and a lot of you have been a part of this in different ways, is we invite other people that actually are cool, you know, and we have food and we clean the house and we clean up afterwards and things because we can work hard and we can set the space, you know, and we can invite people. But we're not cool like that, you know, and we know that and that's fine. So you just bring what you got, you know. I love how the Hoyts do that, and that's not us, and I like how we do stuff, you know? I want to have my little sanctuary, my little bubble, so I can and push the world out, you know? I want to have my cave time. That's so important to me, you know? I get mean and grouchy and growl at things. So, but just do it the way that you are. Do it the way that you are. Find a way. Find a way to love people. Go into your homes and your street and your neighborhoods and your families and your classrooms and your offices and the world and love people. And show people and invite people into the with God life. Or as Jesus said, baptize them, immerse them into the Holy Spirit. Immerse them into the with God life. Give as you've been given to. Give as you've been given to. Let's pray.